With a fingerboard hooked up to a large keyboard, Mark Smart, an electronics technician and local jazz guitarist, demonstrates a saxophone sound.
Basically, it's set up so that the left to right direction is controlling pitch, and then when you push harder, the pressure is controlling the volume and also the brightness of the sound to try to imitate the way the saxophone gets brighter when you blow harder on it. And then I also have the front-back direction is controlling growl. If you play toward yourself, you get a clean sound, and if you play farther away, you get kind of a growl. And this actual sound is coming from this keyboard over here, which is basically a Windows PC in a box with the keyboard.
All the saxophone sound, all whatever you want to emulate, this comes from the keyboard.
Yeah, the Continuum itself is a controller. It's not a synthesizer, so it just sends MIDI, which is a musical instrument digital interface, to control some other unit that actually produces the sound. It's really good for doing saxophone sounds and also for imitating Eddie Van Halen.
To make an instrument combining a wide range of sounds with a wide range of expression, Professor Lippold Hawkins says he took his musical background and applied what he knew.
I wanted to do something in music and use my engineering skills doing it. And I'd been, my parents had me play violin all through my youth, and so I'm, you know, in violin playing, the vibrato is really important. Swells during notes, like crescendos during notes and glissandi and such, are all really important for expression. So I wanted to build an instrument that was keyboard-like, but had the same sort of expressive capabilities. And that's really where it came from.
Did you have a concept of what you wanted to do? Is this something that you saw the final product?
Well, actually, I tried a lot of different approaches. The idea of just having a surface where you place your fingers and you have to place them exactly to get the right pitch, sort of like on a fretless guitar or on a violin fingerboard, that idea I had really early on, but how to actually build electronics for it was tough. And I went through a lot of different designs. The challenge there from the electronics side is that when you play a vibrato, you're only moving your finger a fraction of a millimeter, and it has to be able to track that, and has to be able to track that for lots of different fingers. And that's, nobody's built a device that can do that yet.
And what kind of effects were you trying to pull off that would otherwise require holding down on some effect up here on a keyboard?
Right, and a keyboard player does that. A keyboard player has a pitch wheel, but that affects all the notes in the chord the same. It doesn't have the same sort of freedom. It sounds more electronic, more mechanical than it does if each finger is vibrating individually. And all these things that you can do in a fretless string instrument, you can also do on this instrument.
How long did it take to finish this?
Well, I guess I started, I was with a group of students building music synthesizers and keyboards and also a pitch extractor, a thing that tracks singing. I was doing that in the early 80s when I was just finishing up my undergraduate and starting graduate school. So I think 84 is the first time I really wrote up the idea.
Can you name something that's easier to play now and what you wanted to emulate?
Oh, actually, easier to play is an interesting thing. You know, people always expect electronics to make their life easier, and in synthesizers, it's especially that way. One of the big frustrations for keyboard players is they sit down and play this instrument, doesn't play like a keyboard, and they don't like that. It's rare to find somebody who'll take the time and really realize that, no, this is a new instrument. I'm a keyboard player. If I were to start playing violin now, I could expect to spend years learning it. This is maybe not that big a leap, but it's a pretty big leap. Certainly the idea wasn't to make it easier. It was more to, like I say, to bring something of what you have, say, in the singing voice or in violin, in all those instruments where vibrato is so important and glissando is so important.
Mark Smart created this piece of music by himself using a single fingerboard. In years past, these music tracks would be recorded one at a time. But Smart was able to create these multiple music tracks on the fly using the fingerboard and a programmable synthesizer. Professor Hawkins, as many others, have contributed to the fingerboard while he built it the last few years.
It was one of many projects. It was sort of a back burner thing. It was a big enough project that sort of went in fits and starts. But I would run into people and tell them about the idea, and people would have idea of different kinds of sensing devices to use, different kinds of technology to use. And also, not being a very good performing musician myself, I really need a musician's feedback, because almost all the improvements since the last 6 or 7 years have been performers asking for changes. It's not like if you get a grand piano, but there's all these piano technique books that you can follow, and you can go a step-by-step program and learn how to play piano. There's no such thing for this, so a lot of it's sort of your own discovery.
One of my most obvious questions, I mean, everybody's got to learn this thing by trial and error. I mean, it's not as if there's a continuum fingerboard teacher out there.
That's right, and also people all have very different playing styles. It's just now beginning that some of the continuum fingerboard players are imitating others, but that's really a new thing. It's still a small enough thing that most people develop their own playing technique, and most people play very different styles of music.
Yeah, how does this relate to what you do on campus?
Well, it's very nice. The interest of the students is very good. There's a lot of students, partly just because of iPods and such, that hear a lot of music, and then so they'll be fans of some of the bands. There's certainly some very very loyal Dream Theater fans here that I've run into. So the students like to see, when I'm teaching a class, right, it's interesting for them that this band that they listen to willingly on their own, that they really enjoy, that I contributed something there.
Dream Theater is a progressive metal band that uses the continuum fingerboard. Other more familiar names of those who have taken up the instrument include John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin fame and Terry Lawless, a keyboardist with U2. It was also used recently for sound effects in Steven Spielberg's remake of War of the Worlds. Professor Hawken and Mark Smart have been to some trade shows with the instrument, which retails between $3,000 and $5,500 depending on the model. At that cost, Hawken says he doesn't want to add the expense of paying a distributor. And Hawken says he didn't design the continuum fingerboard to get rich. He says he realizes it's an instrument that will take some time for others to learn about, not to mention figure out how to play. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News. We'll be right back.